Welcome back into Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Rocco Nucci with you. Time to take our weekly trip to Planet Golf as we welcome in Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, always a pleasure. How are you this afternoon?
Bull, thanks for having me. It's a busy time on Planet Golf, and it's Wednesday, and I'm still kind of shaking in excitement about the golf tournament that happened last weekend.
We'll talk about that Workday Charity Open, or I'm sorry, the Workplace Charity Open. We'll also get into the next tournament taking place at the exact same venue at Mirrorfield Village. So lots to dive into today, but let's talk about that finish this past weekend. Colin Morikawa edging out Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas was terrific throughout the course of the week, and they had to change things up a little bit because of some impending or threatening weather, so they got done a lot earlier than they would have liked, especially considering the finish that they got. Boy, Guy, what an exciting finish, and what a tournament for Colin Morikawa.
It was awesome. I would make the argument it was the best finish on the PGA Tour here in 2020. We obviously don't have the sample size that we would have in a typical year, but there were tournaments played basically from January till early March, and then we've been playing since mid-June, so there's probably a bigger sample size in golf than other sports. And the final 2 hours of that tournament was riveting. Just the final group was riveting because of the weather situation. They went to threesomes instead of twosomes. So you had Justin Thomas in there, who is one of the elite 30 and under players in the world. And then you had two second-year pros, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, in that final group who have already won PGA Tour tournaments. Victor Hovland was the U.S. amateur champ last year. Colin Morikawa was one of the best players turning professional after an outstanding career at the University of California. So they're even younger than Justin Thomas. So it was just an amazing final group. And watching those three compete for a title at a awesome golf course like Mirrorfield Village Golf Club. And so many things happened in the last 2 hours of that tournament. I mean, Colin Morikawa pulls up to the 16th tee after grinding out a par on the par 5 15th, which you would think is a birdie hole, three shots behind Justin Thomas, who eagled the 15th, and you thought it was Thomas's tournament to win. There's no way a player that level would surrender a three-shot lead. Well, he did, and then we had three bonus holes.
A lot of fun to pay attention to finishes like this, especially, Guy, when you consider this was supposed to be a tournament that was kind of like a warm-up, so to speak, to the Memorial going down this weekend. So the finish here, we certainly hope, is a precursor for things to come throughout the course of the week. And, you know, while things are going to be at least a little bit different at Mirrorfield Village again this coming week at the Memorial Tournament with no fans in attendance, this is a star-studded field, and it really kind of involves a who's who on the PGA Tour.
The 27 of the top 30 players in the world are going to be in Dublin or are in Dublin right now. It's the best field in the history of the tournament, and the tournament is an invitational, which means it's got an elevated spot on the PGA Tour schedule, and it's always got a strong field, but this is just blows away anything else that they've ever had. Anybody that is in the United States playing golf right now that's an elite player or world-ranked player is in this tournament. I mean, I looked it up, and the only players in the top 30 in the world rankings are Adam Scott, who I believe is still in Australia, and we're unsure if he's even going to be back over for the PGA Championship in a few weeks, and then Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood are still in the United Kingdom. They haven't come over yet, but besides those three, everybody's there, including Tiger Woods, who has five victories at Mirrorfield Village Golf Club. This is his first tournament, 72-hole tournament, since the Genesis Invitational in February. He wasn't even in the Players' Championship field, if you remember, when that event got canceled after round one in mid-March. So we saw Tiger play in the exhibition with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, but that was only 18 holes, so this is his first 72-hole event. And geez, it's been 5 months since February, so he's the headliner, but everybody else is there. And how about this pairing? Thursday and Friday, Tiger Woods is playing with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. That's 23 combined majors, and probably one of the most exciting Thursday-Friday pairings in a non-major that I can remember. And I think a lot of people are going to be dropping the $60 and subscribing to PGA Tour Live just to watch that pairing from number 1 through number 18 on Thursday and Friday.
Wow. I mean, talk about a star-studded cast there, especially with that grouping. Just incredible. And, you know, Tiger Woods is certainly going to be the guy that everybody kind of follows. And he's changed things up a little bit this year in that, you know, I think for a while, guy, we were used to seeing him golf every single weekend. But he's in his early 40s right now. He just can't afford to continue to operate like that. So he's kind of picking and choosing which tournaments he's going to play in. And you've got to think that in an unusual season like this, he's certainly going to make his presence felt, especially at a tournament like this one. You mentioned he's dominated it before, but this one means a little something extra to him, it seems.
Yeah, and he's become really smart with his schedule. I mean, at his age, he knows his body. He knows what he can handle. And I would compare it to what Roger Federer started doing a few years ago in tennis. For your listeners that maybe don't follow tennis as much as they do other sports, Roger Federer really geared his entire season around a few tournaments. In fact, he was skipping the French Open, which is one of the four majors, to give himself a better chance at Wimbledon, which always starts a few weeks after the French Open. And I think Tiger Woods is at that point with this schedule. If we're not going to see him week in and week out, he's going to be very strategic about it. He's going to pick places where he's comfortable or has a serious business interest. And Muirfield Village is certainly a place that he feels comfortable. I mean, Tiger Woods is, throughout the course of his career, some of his greatest non-major triumphs have come in the state of Ohio at Muirfield Village and at Firestone when they were playing the WGC event there, and even back into the World Series of Golf days. And yeah, this is special to him. It's Jack Nicklaus's tournament. And when you think of the two greatest players ever to play golf, it's Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, and they're always going to be connected. And as long as Tiger Woods can physically do it, and as long as Jack Nicklaus is around, I think we'll continue to see Tiger Woods at the Memorial Tournament because of the relationship he has with Jack Nicklaus and because what those two mean to the game of golf.
You mentioned that for the first couple of days, that grouping of Woods, Koepka, and McIlroy, a lot of eyes will be on that threesome. Are there any other groupings out there that really kind of stand out to you, at least as far as the first couple of days are concerned?
Well, we talked about it a few weeks ago after he won the Rocket Mortgage Classic. I think any group that Bryson DeChambeau is in right now is intriguing and is must-watch golf, and he's in a pairing Thursday and Friday with Colin Morikawa, who is really on the verge of breaking out as a big-time star on the PGA Tour. Like, he's only been a pro for about a year and already has two victories and took out Justin Thomas, who's the number three player in the world, in a three-hole playoff. And yes, so Bryson DeChambeau is playing with Colin Morikawa and defending champion Patrick Cantlay, who's someone that maybe isn't a big name amongst the casual golf fans, but Patrick Cantlay's ranked 10th in the world right now. He won the Memorial Tournament last year, had some serious injury problems early in his career, but he seems to have figured out his body and how to prepare for events, and that's another intriguing pairing. I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, Justin Thomas, who we've mentioned a few times already in this segment, is playing with Dustin Johnson, who's playing for the first time since winning the Travelers Championship a few weeks back, and Xander Schauffele is also in that group, who's one of the most steady players. So yeah, there's some just big time pairings in this tournament, and even though there won't be fans on the ground, it's going to have maybe even a major championship vibe when you're watching that early coverage, just because the field's so good and there are going to be so many world ranking points at stake, and it's the best field since the return of the PGA Tour, and really it's the center of the sports world this weekend too, this tournament.
Yeah, and look, you could also argue, too, that it's not necessarily sharing too much of that spotlight for another weekend. This is really the last weekend it gets with the exclusivity, right? Because baseball will come back that following weekend. It'll be all over national television. So this is really golf's last weekend, where it's really kind of the only thing on Saturday. And it does have maybe a little bit of competition as it gets deeper into the weekend. But you're right, this is a huge opportunity for golf to shine with not a whole lot of other competition, at least when it comes to live sports. Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Guy, we talked about the field at the Memorial. How will this week be different than last, at least from a course perspective? How much different do you think it'll play this week as opposed to last?
It's going to play significantly different. Director of Grounds Chad Mark and his staff are given different directives for this tournament from the PGA Tour, so you'll see faster greens. And what does that mean? Well, we saw some key putts that were holed when even players were above the hole because they could putt a little more offensively than defensively at the greens last week because of the speeds of them. Well, this week, if you get above the hole and you blow one by, there could be serious ramifications. You could have some putts coming back that are longer than the initial putt that you had. So you're going to definitely see a different mentality on the greens. I mean, you look at what Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa did, both draining long putts to extend that playoff. I mean, that putt that Justin Thomas made from 50 feet that had that much break, that's going to be a significantly more difficult putt this week than it was last week because the greens are going to be cut a little bit shorter and rolled more, and there are things that you could do from an agronomy standpoint to get the greens to run quicker. The rough is going to be higher, so miss the fairway, there's going to be more of a penalty than there was last week. So those would be the two big things I look at. There's a chance of rain, of course, and if it does rain heavy, then some of the things that I just talked about will be negated a bit, and PGA Tour players absolutely feast on soft golf courses. So if you want to see a tournament that played different than it did last week, let's hope for no rain or no significant rain so they can really dry that golf course up, and they don't have to worry about killing the greens or killing the fairways for the members because a major renovation begins at Mirrorfield Village right after this tournament. So they can really push the golf course to the brink if they do have the weather to do that.
Well, this is a very competitive field, and it should be a really awesome tournament. We've got to ask because, you know, sometimes you've been spot on, and sometimes you've missed the mark a little bit with your predictions. So who do you think is the winner at the end of all this on Sunday?
Sometimes. I've missed the last three cuts with my winner's bowl.
I was trying to clean that up a little bit for you.
But we have picked two right ones in the segment this year. So I think if you had $20 a week on these bets, you'd still be way ahead with the odds and how tough it is to pick winners in golf tournaments. Maybe I'm just trying to rationalize some horrible decisions here recently. But anyway, I'm looking at Patrick Cantlay to repeat as the Memorial tournament champion. He came back a little bit later than some of the other players. He didn't play at the Charles Schwab Challenge or at the RBC Heritage, so he sat the first two events of this restart out, and then he came back at the Travelers Championship, tied for 11th, took a week off, and then played last week at the Workday Charity Open and came in tied for 7th, so he's right around that top 10 in his two events back. He plays very well at Mirrorfield Village. He's a player that doesn't get rattled by a lot and has a lot of confidence coming into this event, so he's one that I'm really looking at, and it's tough to repeat in any golf tournament, especially at Mirrorfield Village, although Tiger won three memorials in a row in the late 90s and early 2000s. I mean, what an accomplishment that is. So, yeah, Patrick Cantlay's the name I'm looking at this week, Bull.
All right, well, we will hold you to that. Keep an eye on Patrick Cantlay, last year's winner. That's who guys picking to win it again this year. All right, well, we've talked a lot about how Jack Nicklaus will be in the spotlight this weekend. This is his tournament. And this is a really interesting debate, you know, because people, I think, that live in Ohio, if you follow golf, you know it, but if you're a casual fan, you probably don't know it, that he's from the great Buckeye State. And that begs the question. When you think about all of his contributions on the course and off, he's certainly right there in the thick of that discussion when it comes to the greatest athletes from the state of Ohio. You know, look, I think everybody will immediately point to LeBron, and there are some folks that will immediately point to Jesse Owens. But Jack Nicklaus belongs in that discussion, and you would like to think that if he's not number one, he's certainly one of the top two or three, isn't he?
Bull, you're probably you are definitely, not probably, more well-versed in some of the other sports besides golf than I am. What are your thoughts on this question?
Well, when you think about the best of all time, right, in a particular sport, Jack Nicklaus, I think by many, will always be looked at as such. Many will say Tiger Woods, and then I think other folks will point to the idea that Jack still has more major championships, and they've both made terrific contributions to golf, both on and off the course. It's so difficult to compare sports because you can use that same comparison to LeBron James. I think a lot of it has to do with when you were born, right? Because I think anybody that was born after, say, 1990, maybe you know a little bit about Jesse Owens. You don't know enough about him. I mean, that's 30 years ago. So if you go back 30 years, maybe people don't totally grasp just how great Jack Nicklaus is. Because by the time they started watching golf, yeah, they may have heard the name, but they haven't seen him golf very much. Whereas if you were born in 1990, by the time you were 10 years old, you already saw Tiger Woods begin to dominate. So you think differently about these things. So I think for guys like you and me, I think that's a very easy question to answer. I mean, Jesse Owens did all that he did so long ago that I think, sadly, some of that's gotten forgotten, or maybe it just doesn't have the effect that it once had many years ago.
Yeah, I would say that Jack Nicklaus is definitely underappreciated in Ohio. In fact, there are a lot of Ohioans that probably don't even realize that Jack Nicklaus is from Ohio. And, you know, he does spend most of his time in Palm Beach, Florida these days, and he has for a long time, but he is an Ohioan. And I would also say that Jack Nicklaus is underappreciated in golf, too. I think a lot of people take Jack Nicklaus for granted. He's 80 years old now. He's just, you expect him to show up at the Memorial every year. You expect him to show up at the Honda Classic, do his TV segments, play major parts in those tournaments. You expect him to continue designing golf courses. I mean, heck, the Valley of the Eagles over in Elyria is a Nicklaus design, and that was reopened, what, two years ago, Bull?
Yeah.
And yep. He's always been there. For anyone that is really 70 and over that has been watching sports their entire life, Jack Nicklaus has always been around. Well, there's eventually going to be a day where he's not going to be around. And let's enjoy Jack while he's still around and still making TV appearances and still running his Nicklaus design business and still offering wisdom. And this is, in my mind, he's the greatest athlete to ever come from our state. He's the greatest golfer of all time right now. He's won 18 majors, 19 second place finishes in majors. Tiger's at 15 majors, and maybe Tiger catches him. Maybe Tiger doesn't. And if Tiger does win 18 or more majors, I think you'd have to say he's the greatest golfer of all time. You know, it's difficult to compare eras. I would say that Jack Nicklaus had some of the other top 10 all-timers whose prime was right around his prime. I mean, you got to remember, Jack Nicklaus at the start of his career was competing against Ben Hogan. At the end of his career, he was competing against people like Tom Watson and Greg Norman. I mean, the longevity is just amazing when you look at what he done. He won the Masters at, what, 46 years old in 1986, which is one of the all-time great golf tournaments. And, of course, Tiger winning the Masters last year in his 40s was one of the all-time great accomplishments for somebody. So, Jack Nicklaus, let's just enjoy him while he's around. I mean, he's raised millions, maybe even close to billions for charity, and the work he's done with children's hospitals all across the country, including the ones here in Ohio. He really is a treasure, and he's just somebody that I think is taken for granted. Maybe it's because he doesn't have the charisma some other athletes do. You know, he did, even when he was in his prime, you know, it was split between Artie and Jack, who the masses and the galleries loved. In fact, Arnold Palmer probably got more attention and affection from the galleries, even though Arnold Palmer's accomplishments are nothing compared to, or pale and compared to Jack Nicklaus's. So Jack is just good old Jack from Upper Arlington neighborhood of Ohio, who grew up playing at Scioto Country Club and went on to travel the world. And let's just not take him for granted. And the Memorial Tournament to me is always going to be significant because he's one of the greatest ambassadors, not only for golf, but for sports and competition in the world, in the history of sports. And this is always a special week to reflect and think about what he's not only done for golf, but charity and the business of golf and sports in general.
And the profound effect certainly isn't something I think that'll ever get overlooked, but it is an interesting debate. When you talk about the best athletes from the great Buckeye State, and I'm sure somebody will call in and they'll tell me I'm missing somebody along the way, but I think those are the top three that come to my mind when it comes to LeBron and all the things that he's done with charity and all the things he's accomplished in his career. Jesse Owens, as I mentioned before, I think we shouldn't forget about what he did, but again, because it happened so long ago, you know, sometimes that loses a little bit of effect over the years, but it is an interesting debate. Because I think, as you mentioned, Guy, a lot of people, they know the name Jack Nicklaus, but I don't think they know all of what he has done, both on the course and off. But that's an interesting debate we'll have to come back to at a different time. Guy, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we look forward to catching up again next week to see if Patrick Cantlay is a winner for you.
Cool. Thanks for having me. And one closing thought on the Jack Nicklaus LeBron James argument, at least Jack Nicklaus didn't go on national TV and announce that he was moving to South Florida when he did.
Very well done, sir. That's a walk-off. Well done. Thank you, Guy. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's take a break. Rocco and I will come back after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.